Why do you always use minor keys when you're messing around?
Because I'm destined to be a metalhead, Mother.
Welcome back once again to another edition of the Get Real Podcast. I'm non-pastor Dan.
And this is unpastorized, depastorized, very thankful, Glenn.
It's kind of exciting. A lot's going on in this crazy world.
It's absolutely insane. And here we are. This is our Black Friday edition. This is an extra edition for our listeners for something to listen to while they're out doing some Christmas shopping on Black Friday.
Yeah, elbow somebody to grab a big screen TV. That's what the holidays are all about.
Exactly. It always amazes me how we always express great thankfulness on Thanksgiving, and then the next day we have to run out to get more.
Well, you know what it is.
What is it?
It's the tryptophan. It's you OD on that stuff, you take a nap, but then you get really mean. Now, there's a lot going on. The world is crazy. Things are getting, just like the scripture says, it's starting to wax so that evil is called good and good is called evil. I see it everywhere that I'm around. So something that was supposed to be good, a season of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's a great holiday.
I love it.
I'm sorry to the people in England, you know, they don't have it. I mean, nobody has it except for us. It's an American holiday.
They do have a Canadian Thanksgiving, though.
Really?
Yes, that is on our, can I say Columbus Day anymore? I don't know.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's on our that's on our Columbus Day. One of the things that I really do like about this season, though, is Christmas music.
Yeah, you always have.
I have. Now, I have to be honest. Even when I was a kid, before I was saved and really knew the Lord, I really didn't like Pretty Paper and Pretty Ribbons, those songs. And even if you ask my mom and sister, they'd be like, yeah, Glenn didn't like those songs. I liked the meaty ones, you know, like Angels We Have Heard on High and A Little Town of Bethlehem and O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Did you understand lyrically? Or how it was the music, the lyrics, it was both? What was it?
It moved me.
Huh.
Okay, it moved me. I wanted to hear about Jesus. I wanted to hear about that. That's what I wanted to hear about. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Christmas presents at the Christmas season. I do. But I really like that. I like going to church. I was trying to connect. I think that's really what I was trying to do. And I remember sitting in the kitchen of my mom and dad's home. They had a radio that was on top of the refrigerator. And I would record the Christmas music off of there as well. I found all sorts of different ways to record music, you know, back then.
Yeah, back in the 80s.
Back in the 80s with my analog boombox and their boombox and trying to do that. But I like it even more now when we can find heavy metal Christmas albums. And I've got one on display here that I'm going to recommend to everybody. It came out last year. Tarja, the first lead singer for Nightwish, came out with an album last year called From Spirits and Ghosts. And I picked it up. I thought, oh, this is going to be really, really good. And I was totally, totally blown away by it. The first song on it is one of my favorites, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Love that song. But she also does Amazing Grace, which is probably the best rendition. Now, of course, I love Tarja and I love symphonic metal.
You're a metalhead.
I'm a metalhead. But the rendition of Amazing Grace just completely blows my mind because she repeats, the one reverse that she repeats at the end was, I was blind, but now I see.
Perhaps that was personal to her for some reason.
It seems that way.
You know what's amazing, and I think you'll probably agree with me, there's a lot of times when I hear a song that'll be a sacred work, a sacred song that has been appreciated by people within Christendom, you know, for generations. But somebody, because I don't know where she stands, I don't know where she is, you know, personally before God, but it's like, I've noticed that a lot of people that seem to be on the outside of Orthodoxy, when they express the things of God through a song, like a stone crying out, if they don't know God, you know, sometimes it seems to reverberate with a greater majesty in a really weird way. I think sometimes within church, we can get so just, you know, what becomes sacred almost becomes common.
Mm-hmm.
What do they say? Familiarity leads to contempt or something. And I hate saying that, but we go in and we sing songs and we go and we hear preaching. We do this, we do that. We get to talk and talk and talk. And then before long, it becomes somewhat muted. And then you find somebody that's out there in the world, they're dealing with everything, they're dealing with being alone in the cosmos, they're dealing with all the questions of life. And then something touches them beyond where they can even relate about, oh, Holy Night, that's my favorite Christmas song.
Oh, I love that song.
I don't know if I can get through it without tears. Yep. It moves me. And it moves me on that depth of level that does eclipse all the materialism. It eclipses a large screen TV or a new guitar or, you know, anything
does.
Like that.
It does.
And it's just so moving. So I know you used to mention that, who was it, Stevie Nicks sings one of your favorites.
Oh, let's go Silent back to, Night? Yes. When we had the radio show, we would talk about this. This was 17 years ago we would talk about this.
Yeah.
How Stevie Nicks, and we know...
I think we played it.
I think we did. We could, because we had ASCAP licensing then,
yeah,
because we were on a radio station.
Anything.
We don't have that
now. We have
now.
A bag of Doritos.
Yeah, but everybody knows she's a witch, okay? She's a practicing Wiccan, and that's fine if that's what she wants to believe, and I'm not going to condemn her for that. I pray for her soul.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But that rendition of Silent Night that she did... And this was even before I was saved, moved me. And I remember it was the radio in the kitchen on top of the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
And that would come on. And I remember talking to my mom and dad saying, that is the best rendition I have ever heard. And still, Stevie Nicks' Silent Night, if you have not heard it with the miracle of computer, there is no reason why you shouldn't hear it. Highly, highly recommend it. Because I really think when she did it, there was something moving in there.
Well, you got to understand that even people that practice the occult and they're dealing with things and entities that are created beings,
mm-hmm.
and they are deceived and they don't know. But let me tell you, when it comes to that incarnate God in flesh baby in that manger, even demons pop to and salute. Yeah,
they
do. You got to understand.
Yeah.
So those people that are bound by these powers, and they're walking around, there is something that's going to be, even within the blasphemy, even within all the rebellion that's tied up in Satanism and witchcraft and so forth, they know, and they tremble, the scripture says. So, you know, sometimes they pop to attention,
I believe it.
And it moves these people, and somehow Stevie or any of these other people, they know that they're dealing with something of great reverence and great power. Even if their rebellious desire were to be blasphemous, it doesn't matter because God trumps all of it. You know,
it does.
Amazing.
And again, here is my take on those that are into the occult and those that are into witchcraft. I believe that they have a very strong spiritual antenna that God put in them. But the antenna is just bent in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And it's our prayer. It's Dan and I's prayer. Man, we love y'all. If you practice the occult, if you're into witchcraft, we love you. We're not going to throw stones at you. We're not going to start a Salem witch trial. And I mean, that was horrible.
Yeah, no way.
No. We love you and we pray for you. And man, we'd love you to reach out to us if you want to talk to us, or even if you disagree with us or want to bring up your point of view. Because guess what? It's your point of view. We've got freedom of speech in this country. And...
For a little while, at least.
And truth always prevails.
Yeah.
It really does. But being Thanksgiving, Black Friday, everything like that, there's something I'm really thankful for is we've got a very special person on Skype with us today, a brother in the Lord who has the same heart cry that we do, and that is Brother Stacy from Revelation Resistance. Stacy, how are you today?
Doing good, Glenn.
Man, it's so good to have you on. I apologize that you have to look at Dan and I usually.
Definitely a face for radio.
Definitely a face for radio. And in a few moments, after Dan and I get through some stuff here, we're going to interview Stacy to find out about his ministry. His ministry ministers to me, and that's why we have him today. I listen to his podcast, Revelation Resistance. I listen to it while I'm working. I've got the computer in my office. I have it on. It ministers to me. The other night, I got to tell you, Dan, Stacy, I got to tell you, there was some stuff personally that I was going through, and you had the podcast about the fear of man. And I just happened to tune in it because you sent me a text. It's like, hey, I mentioned Get Real in it. I was like, okay, cool. I want to listen to that. But it did more than that because the word that you had, Stacy, that night, for me, was exactly what I needed. So thank you for that.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you very much. So, Dan, I would like to go back to just a few weeks ago when we did our Rocktober edition. And we talked about our hero, one of our heroes in the faith, Martin Luther.
Yes.
Martin Luther. been doing a lot of thinking, been doing some more research since we did that. And really for our listeners, if you have not listened to our Rocktober Reformation edition yet, please go back and listen to it, because I think that edition really kind of pinpoints where we're coming from. And if you really want to know, why do Dan and Glenn do this? Well, it's not because we're making bank doing this at all. It's because we have a heart cry. And it's really what we want to see is we want to see people saved. And Stacy, talking to you and listening, that's your hope as well.
Yes, it is.
And that's why we do this. That's why we put ourselves out there. That's why we're vulnerable. That's why there was a Protestant, God started a Protestant Reformation through Martin Luther. And really, the bottom line is this: when you talk about Reformation, it's about souls being saved. Yep. And it's about salvation by grace through faith alone.
Yeah.
That's it.
That is.
It's not that I have to do all these good works to please God. I can never do enough to please God.
It's such a subtlety that works can creep back in. And creep works and also kind of a pharisaical dry judgment of people creeps into the church. And that's why we joke around about being, both of us were pastors
in
the past. And I'm unpastor and non-pastor and all the different things. That's about five podcasts worth of information and history. But it'll gradually creep back in. I look back and I'm horrified at how I used to judge people.
Yes.
I'm horrified that God was moving upon different people and I didn't see it because I was judging simply because of according to the outward.
Right.
According to the outward man and all these things. And now I see these people that are completely lost. They possibly, and we have a lot of different countries that listen to this podcast. So if you're in Europe, you're in all sorts of different...
We just made our way into Finland this week.
Oh, excellent. Well, there's a lot of places, especially in Europe, that had all these convulsions, religious wars, and all these different things that happened. Then now they've adopted a very dry, secular society, pretty much based off of what they consider to be the hypocrisy of religion and those wonderful tenets of the faith, like being saved, being able to know God, being able to have forgiveness of sins and really walk and talk with God. That whole concept seems like a joke to most mm-hmm. people. And we don't mind if that's where you're coming from. We want you to be in that position to be able to go like, well, this is crazy. You mean that God can really interact with me and y'all are serious about this? And that openness, and I think all three of us would probably see that, especially in what I would call passionate music, mm-hmm. heavy metal included, a lot of people are very fervent about knowing truth.
Yes.
And that yep. desire, I believe God will meet you there, okay, wherever you're at. You have to clean yourself up or do some sort of ritual. So God, you're his creation. And if you have this curiosity, he probably put it in your heart anyway. So that's exciting when I hear you. I do think that kind of defined where we were coming from.
That was our define. You know, we were kind of hitting upon a few things before we got to that one. Of course, when you get to the month of October, because Dan and I, we love Martin Luther. We just couldn't resist. And you know what? I did get a message back from
Italy
from S91 band.
Oh, they're awesome.
And he listened to the podcast and he said very profound and very funny. So I know he was talking about the content and not our looks because he has not seen us yet.
Who's profound and who's funny? Like, I need to know. No, that's awesome. Great music, great subject matter. That was good stuff.
Yep.
We talk like this on the phone, by the way.
This is
if you think we every time that Glenn and I call each other and hey, what's up? We could record it and it could be a podcast. This is how we banter. It's just the way we roll.
This is the way we roll at a restaurant too. People look at us. But I found out
so you're profound and funny.
Yeah, and you know what, Dan? What's really making me kind of laugh right now is you're sitting here with this T-shirt with a cat on a surfboard on it.
That's not a surfboard. It's surfing on a piece of pizza. It was a gift, you know. So I guess I'm
in our dignified, sanctimonious, Domino's, order pizza, may the Broncos win. okay, so, but I found out that another one of the reformers would be considered metal as well.
All right.
Discovered this week, and that would be Calvin. Not Calvin and Hobbes, people, but John Calvin, the great reformer. Dan, can you tell us a little bit about Calvin?
Well, I can tell you this much.
Okay.
I've done a lot of reading of Calvin, and I end up repeating chapters because he'll make you feel like a moron. He was super, super intelligent. And you'll hear something that we're like, oh yeah, the Trinity. And then we're like, oh yeah, Trinity. And when he breaks it down and does things, a lot of times there's this disdain that people outside of Christianity would have. They think, if you claim Christianity, you're a moron, right?
Right.
Oh, you're dumb. Go read Jonathan Edwards, go read Calvin, and you'll sit there and go like, yeah, I'm going to take that back. So he's definitely a brilliant man. And I lean, in the first part of my faith, when I had first gotten saved, it was all about knowing Jesus, all was about loving the Lord and relationship with Christ. But then gradually, I started waxing more and more legalistic.
Right.
Waxing, that's kind of a King James phrase.
It is.
But I started getting more and more and more legalistic, and I lost the joy of my salvation. And my doctrine started bending away from certain things. And I'm in the middle. I'm not going to solve any big theological question. But one thing I do appreciate about Calvin is he sits there and describes the sovereignty of God. God is big. God is sovereign. He's not scared of heavy metal. He's not scared of some human doing a tantrum with blasphemy and doing this stuff. He could just reach in and move upon that person and change their heart overnight. And that's our hope. So
I do
love John Calvin.
Well, here's what Calvin said in the Institutes of Faith, his big long treatise that he wrote. And this applies to heavy metal. And I don't know how it is that in Christendom we've gotten so far away from this, what Calvin says in this vein. He says that in regard to secular writers, he's talking about books at this time, let that admirable light of truth shining in them teach us that the mind of man, though fallen and perverted from its wholeness, is nevertheless clothed and ornamented with God's excellent gifts.
Yes.
So even a fallen mind is clothed with God's excellent gifts.
Hmm.
So that means in metal, the secular metal musicians, though many of them are not saved or born again or know the Lord as we do, their mind is still clothed with the excellent gifts of the Lord. He says, if we regard the Spirit of God as the sole fountain of truth, and that is the truth, you know, all truth comes from God, God's Spirit, we shall neither reject the truth itself nor despise wherever it shall appear.
Wow.
So what Calvin is saying to us is that, okay, maybe you don't like the distorted guitars. Maybe you're one of the ones that said to go out and burn every record that you own, but don't despise it. Because any truth that comes from it, yes, we can learn truth from metal. We can. And that's what Calvin says here. And I would like to take credit as being the guy who is really smart and found that myself and applied it to heavy metal, but...
Oh, we know that's...
That's not me. No. that is from Pastor John Van Slouten. He's from Canada. Another great thing from Canada.
A lot of good Canadians.
I mean, we got Devin Townsend from Canada, Rush from Canada, him from Canada. And he wrote a book called The Day Metallica Came to Church. And I want that as a stocking stuffer this year.
Okay.
I've got so many books that I need to read, and that's one of them. So with that being said, with what Calvin said, New Reformation, alternative outreaches like Stacy's outreach with Revelation Resistance, the heart here is to, well, it's actually found in Isaiah 58:12, and that's to build up the old waste places, raise up the age-old foundations, and be the repairer of the breach so that people can get over that gap so that they can be saved. Now, you and I were talking about this just a few minutes ago, and Stacy mentioned this in his podcast about Revelation, Revolution, and revival. And that's one of the reasons why we have Stacy on, because he gets it, is that there's going to be revival. It's coming. But it ain't going to look like Grandma and Grandpa's revival in 1912 or even a revival in the 60s. It's going to look and it's going to sound very different. Now, I want our listeners to hear this, is that the message is going to be the same. That in order to be saved, you have to be born again. You have to repent to receive grace. That is basic biblical truth, that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. And even more than that, he rose 3 days later. That is the good news of the gospel. But it's not going to be, and I hear a lot of preachers talking about this, about good old-fashioned religion. Why is it, and Stacy, you can chime in, why is it that we hang on to the things of the past and miss the things of God? Why is it that we're always looking backwards and not looking forward to what God's doing?
Because it's comfortable.
Yeah.
From my religious experience, I did the same thing as well. And I mean, God actually brought, you know, to my mind. It's just like, you know, when Jesus was talking about when you put your hand to the plow, if you keep looking back, you're not going to be fit for the kingdom of heaven. And it's just so easy to, you know, for us as humans to stereotype things and, you know, say it's just comfortable. I mean, you've eaten, you know, crispy Kentucky Fried Chicken your whole life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, why try Popeyes? Or, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you're saying. I know exactly what
I think
you're
it's saying. Control, too.
Okay.
It's like, if you've got the ability to kind of look back and this is the way I did it and my dad did it and my grandpa did it and you feel comfortable, but we have to humble ourselves to go. But one of the most refreshing things that we've talked about, when we hear a preacher or somebody ministering and they don't have all the answers, I kind of get excited because it's like before when some, well, here's what you do and they know everything. That makes me spiritually nauseous these days. I want to hear somebody that's mystified. They see the word, they break proper doctrine, but they still see the mystery that is in God. They still, he's all over the place all at once. It's all these fantastic things. You just can't put it in your pocket. And I think when we look back, we can observe and we feel like we can dominate and control things. But going into the future, you know, we talked about earlier how old music, some of the music that they're like, we need to hear the old timey music, not just new give me that old demonic stuff.
Roll out the untuned piano and grandma with blue hair. Here we go.
A lot of that was 1800s brothel music.
Yes, it was.
Okay, and then they thought that was the music of the day. And then that became mainstream. That was metal at one time whatever it was. So it's like that whole understanding, and that's definitely a pattern in Christendom.
That's an interesting point that you bring up, because when Handel's Messiah was first performed, you know what the church's reaction to it was?
What?
Blasphemy! They wanted nothing to do with it because classical singers and that whole group, they were seen as a tawdry bunch back then. And how could anything holy come from somebody so tawdry?
Well, there's a book by A.W. Tozer, and I believe it's The Pursuit of God, and I can't remember which chapter, but it talks about the secular sacred paradigm of how people would look at, if you did something in the human, you played an instrument excellently, or you were able to do well in business, how those things were contrary to the kingdom of God. And the way you had to prove that you were spiritual was to go around in tatters, go around not take a bath, to go around and be some monk that's wandering the countryside with not a penny in his pocket. And he really talks about that point of how to clarify. And he said that everything that Christ did was sacred.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful? And how when he ate and drank and hugged and laughed and taught and everything that he did was sacred.
But going back to the old comfortable ways and looking back, God was really stirring in me Matthew 9, 16 through 17. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to quote it verbatim because I don't want this to turn into a regular Sunday school class. But it's where Jesus is talking about putting the new piece of cloth on the old garment, how that just doesn't work. And how you can't put old wine or new wine into old wineskins. And that just doesn't work. So I did, again, being the theological metal nerd that I am, here's some nerdology. I looked up in Meyer's New Testament commentary. And this is what it says about these verses. It says, old forms of piety are not compatible with the new.
The new piety.
Yes. So grandma and grandpa's old time religion, God bless it, it was good for that time and season, is not compatible with what God wants to do today.
Within the bounds of the same message and the same glorious
absolutely
world.
Same message. And here I am. There we go. Piece of paper. Nice. I missed the trash can in the back. There we go.
No, that's good stuff. That's a great point. That's a great point.
And the other thing that God was stirring in me, I've really been enjoying the book of Luke. Of course, we're getting up on the Christmas season. But I wasn't looking at those verses. I was looking at Luke chapter 6. And one of the stories that I find absolutely hilarious, okay, is when Jesus is out plucking the ears of corn with his disciples on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees run up to him. They're like, hey, dude, Don't you know it's the Sabbath? Why are you breaking the law? All right.
Yep.
And Jesus's response to them was, okay, haven't you guys even read the scriptures about what David did?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's part of our problem is we've gotten so into, well, this is what our rules and regulations say at the church and our institution. Okay, and church, we love church. There are churches, there's a remnant that's preaching the gospel. It's out there. I'm very fortunate, I've found one, and I'm able to attend one here in South Carolina, in the Charleston area. But we get so caught up in that, and one of the things that I've really seen is that God does not work in institutions. He doesn't work in men's regulations and rules, and those are the boxes that we try to put God in.
There is kind of like, it seems like delusions come, like, right before the Lord came and died, right, and rose again, all these misinterpretations, all these political interpretations of what God was doing in the earth. Yep. And so people missed it. They were very blind to the fact of, whoa, he's coming to give himself to redeem us. They thought, oh, he's going to come and oust the Romans.
Yep.
We're going to get a chicken in every pot. He's going to improve the economy. And it was like, and they hated him because he didn't fit with what their gist of what was supposed to be happening. They had a different narrative in their mind.
I don't think we'd recognize Jesus if we walked past him on the street. I don't think he looks like what we imagined him to look like.
Right.
Okay. First of all, Jesus was Jewish.
Yep.
All right.
That was profound.
Wow.
We can end the podcast now.
Right,
Stacy, thanks for being with us. Jesus was Jewish. Okay.
Shalom. Shalom. That.
He was.
Okay. He was. But I think what people are looking for is the guy who's going to come and make their life awesome.
Well, people are preaching that 24/7.
Exactly. My best life ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right now, no, it better be your best.
Which is kind of funny, when Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted, okay, they're basically preaching everything that the devil offered to Jesus.
Yeah, they are, really. Hey, all these kingdoms can be yours.
Hey, if you do this, hey, the world is your oyster.
Right? Stacy, here's a question for you before we get into the meat of the interview. When you were saved, when you first met the Lord, did your life become easier or harder?
It definitely pretty much took a nosedive, period. I was 10.
Okay.
And immediately after, you know, I got saved, my parents got divorced, and yeah. So it's been a real road, man.
Yeah. It's not easy.
So the devil's been against me from the beginning, dude.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's what happens. That's what's what was that country music song? I didn't promise you a rose garden. Yeah. There we go. So, Stacy, we want to talk about Revelation Resistance. This is an awesome, awesome ministry that you have. Can you tell us a little bit about the vision and the mission of your ministry?
You know, Revelation Resistance is something that I've been involved in a lot of churches and, you know, just different stuff throughout the years. And church I was involved with kind of fell apart, and we just had a lot of crazy problems that I'm not going to get into because it's just going to take up too much time. But in the wake of that storm and stuff, God was really dealing with me on, you know, starting, you know, a ministry. And at first I didn't really understand, you know, exactly what it was, because I was still grieving over the loss of my church. Mm-hmm. But Revelation Resistance is basically about, you know, trying to create a place where, you know, people, especially anybody, is welcome. But, you know, it certainly caters more to outcasts and rejects and people who have just, you know, had you know, crappy life, or been through drugs, been through, you know, all different kinds of things and stuff like that. But I really, you know, believe that that's who God wants me to reach out to, as far as, you know, ministering to them and, you know, helping them, and as well helping, you know, Christians that, you know, have been rejected from a church or something like that, who have just been, you know, they're just tired of it. They're tired of organized religion. They're tired of playing the church game and all that stuff. And trying to help them to get in tune with God, with his will for their life. And I don't know what that is. God, only God does. And God you know, getting them to a place in our personal relationship with God to where that they can flourish and grow and be a warrior for Christ.
Stacy, when you were talking about the Lord moving upon you at the age of 10, can you describe a little bit about what that was like? Was there, did you hear preaching? Was it life events? Was it something that had been kind of echoing around in your heart and your mind about conviction? What went on you in you at that age?
At my church at that point, everything was going great. I was raised in a semi-small Baptist church out in the country. And my preacher, he's a good dude, man. Old school, you know, screaming, yelling, all that stuff, man. But I believe the dude loved the Lord. I don't know. Everything was just on fire at that point. People were getting saved and stuff. And I asked my dad, I was like, what are these people going up and talking to the preacher about? And he was like, well, they're getting saved. And I'm like, well, you know, what's that all about? And, you know, luckily with my dad explaining that stuff to me, and we had a great children's church group, you know, and that's not popular even in some churches today. We had a popular or a very good children's church group that, you know, was feeding me all these truths about Jesus and who he was and, you know, that he wanted to save us from our sins. And yes, I mean, I definitely felt, you know, the Spirit of the Lord moving on me and calling me and stuff like that. And, you know, I talked to my dad, talked to the preacher, and ultimately, you know, I had to go up there in front of everybody and say, you know, I wanted Jesus Christ as my Lord. And, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how it went down, and it felt good. It was great. I mean, it was a great, awesome time in my life. Actually, going back, I mean, at my ultimate low, you know, the ultimate low of my life, you know, when I had really just got off out in left or right field, whatever you want to call it, it was the realization that I was like, you know, man, that was the best time of my life, you know, and I was like, I've got to get back to that, whatever, you know, it is, and I just rededicated my life to God at that point. But, yeah, man, I mean, it's strange, you know. I mean, I even kind of question it at points, you know, did I really get saved at 10 and different stuff like that, because I'd walked so far away. But, you know, God ultimately showed me that, yes, I gave my heart and life to, you know, to Jesus Christ.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we got a lot more to talk about. So we're going to split this podcast up into a couple segments for you. So just hold on, and we'll be right back, and you can listen to part 2 in our interview with Stacy from Revelation Resistance.